Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To find out more about our upcoming shows or access to our more than 1,800 podcast episodes, visit our website at www.biteradio.me. Today, my special returning guest is Harrison Viers Newberry, author of Imminent Shift: In Human Consciousness and Awakening to the ET Phenomenon. Imminent Shift is all about exploring the truth, about uncovering the secrets of the world in our own consciousness, what has been kept from you by other people, as well as your self-taught fears, is a roadblock to your full potential. It's time for an awakening, to learn your higher purpose and how it relates to others. Harrison Viers Newberry has been a truth seeker of answers for decades. His questions are the ones we all ask at some point in life. He revealed the results to readers of his books. For more than 40 years, he has traveled many paths seeking enlightenment, answers, and understanding. He walked the journey of a shaman for years, which took him high in the Andes Mountains of Peru and deep into the Amazon jungles. For more information, you can visit Harrison on Instagram at Harrison Viers, and that's V-I-E-R-S. Okay, with that, I'd like to welcome Harry back to the show. Good day, Harry.
Good day to you, Robert. It's a pleasure to be back. I'm honored.
Thank you. I am happy to have you. It's always very informative when we speak. Sometimes I think, you know, I'm in that fog, and I'm glad that you can enlighten us in a way. So let's start with Imminent Shift, the book. What inspired you to write this particular book?
Well, I guess like a lot of things, it was in pursuit of enlightenment and curiosity. You know, and I started looking behind the scenes for information on alien visitation, UFOs, UAPs, and you don't have to look very, very deep to find a wealth of knowledge. But what throws most people off is that you don't hear about it in the mainstream media. But it's in alternative media and has been. Of course, today, you know, we're hearing a lot in the mainstream media, but it's all very, very, very controlled. And they're just barely scratching the surface. Even if they do release UFO files, you'll find more in Imminent Shift than they're going to release, I can assure you, just about that piece of the book. The book is actually in two parts. You know, it's about the history, modern history of UFOs, particularly since 1947 and the reverse engineering and all that's taken place, the deep underground special access projects. But at some point, I started realizing there's got to be more to this story. And I come to recognize that it's about one thing. It's about consciousness. Everything that I had picked up from the cosmic visitors, it's all about human consciousness. And then I soon discovered that physicists are now saying, and have been saying for some time, that consciousness is fundamental in the universe. Everything that we see in the material physical world is manifested by consciousness, including us and all the material objects around us. It all originated and comes from consciousness. But we've been led to believe that we are limited, that we're powerless, and we are not. We've been held in fear, enslaved for some 12,500 years. Of course, at that time, there wasn't many of us around. That was at the time of the Great Flood pole shift. But as the population expanded, the seeds had already been implanted by a negative force of beings. And we've been controlled by false beliefs. And people are waking up to that now. By the millions, people are waking up to it. And people are starting to realize that the media is lying to them. And the media is controlled by the 1%, the elite, the cabal. And they serve no one except their own agenda. And that's all they care about. But I wrote them a shift. That's kind of a long answer to your question. I wrote Imminent Shift because I felt compelled to do so, because most people just don't have the time to do the homework and do the research. And I had some life-changing events a few years ago that gave me the ability to invest the time, and I have invested literally thousands of hours over a period of several years now, just in this topic area alone. And you know, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know very much at all. It's very humbling. There's no way you can get arrogant about how much you know when you, if you're really learning, you know, there's just information so much to understand that we've never been exposed to. It's never one taught in schools. You hear it on TV. How are we supposed to know? It's not a put down to us. But, you know, as I mentioned before the show, we are a race of beings on a planet that has been unconscious of being unconscious.
Yeah.
Mind controlled into living short lives. We've been made to believe that this physical material world is all there is. Our bodies, we are our brain. I used to think that for years. Yeah. You know, somebody would say, you know, what's the center of who you are? And I thought my brain.
Yeah.
It's the heart.
Yeah. Now, the shift we're talking about would be from a lower fourth density, or 4D, into the fifth. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, the whole idea of basically the different densities and, you know, the idea of making a shift from one to the other?
Yeah. Well, life goes through an ascension process from one density to the next. If we have been in the third density for 12,500 years. Now, the Mayan prophecies said that, a lot of people interpreted the Mayan prophecies as the end of the world was going to happen on 12-21-12. Of course, we know that didn't happen. So a lot of people just assumed that nothing happened. It was a hoax or whatever. But let me tell you, Robert, a lot happened because the magnetics of Earth shifted. And it's those magnetics. Yeah, as humans, and everything is just energy. And it's the magnetics that have held our subconscious in place. You know, all the little embarrassments that we've had in our life, humiliations, and all the things that have been said to us from childhood that say, you're not okay, I'm not okay. Why didn't you get 100 on that test, Robert? What's wrong with you? Are you stupid? You're never going to amount to anything. Nobody will ever hire you. Nobody likes you anyway. You know, like, whoa, what do I do next? So we can't walk around with that. We tuck it into our subconscious. but it's still there to inform us. Well, now that the magnetics, which are the glue that has held all that in place, have loosened, all that stuff is appearing in our conscious mind, and we're seeing it, and we have been seeing it since 12/21/12, and it's gotten progressively tougher. We're going through a bumpy ride because, as one of my mentors, an international lecturer and author, Jim Self, says, we can't take our baggage with us. We have to clean ourselves out of all of this baggage, these I'm not okays. So there's methods that we can use to do that. You know, I found myself not long ago sitting around, and suddenly a negative thought popped in my mind, a negative memory about something that took place over 40 years ago. And I thought, gee, where did this come
from? Yeah.
There was nothing to trigger it that I was aware of or that I could think of, but it was very pervasive. Well, what you do when these things happen is you say to yourself while taking three steps to the right, or at least turning your head to the right, preferably taking three steps to the right, say, it's going away now. Now, I know that may sound hokey or crazy, but it works. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you it works because I've used it. And another trick is, you know, our brains are like a hard drive on a computer. When negative thoughts appear in your head, and it's these negative thoughts that hold us in that 3D and keep us from ascending into the higher densities. We want to avoid anything that's going to pull us back down into the third, because we all go through these, you know, you're not just all day long in the 4D, 3D, or whatever. We go up and down depending upon our mood. You remember what it was like the first time you fell in love?
I think so. Yes, I do.
That light feeling of, you know, nothing can touch you.
Mm-hmm.
Like fifth density.
Mm.
All the time. And that's where we're headed. But we've got through this bumpiness. We've got to keep our head clear. Turn on the news and watch your density drop. Watch your energy drop down into a low. Your light will be low because of all the negativity that's coming at you. I stopped watching the news a long time ago. I just can't take it anymore. I'm very sensitive to it. The further that I've traveled this path, I just can't take it. I keep up with the basic things that are going on,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I can't sit there and watch that stuff. And I used to do that. I remember back in the 1990s, I watched it every night. And at the end of it, the only thing that took place was that I got upset and angry, even when the speakers were saying what I agreed with at the time. It didn't matter. I'm still upset and angry. And for what?
Mm.
What am I going to do about it? There's nothing I can do about it. All this is to hold us in fear. And it's designed that way. Yeah, maybe not by the people talking on the TV screen, but those behind the scenes and those that are behind them are orchestrating this to hold us in fear and in a dense energy, because there's where we are almost completely controlled. We serve them in every conceivable way, and we've done it for so long that we're not even aware of it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you believe that 2027 is going to be quite some year. So can you tell us what, you know, indicators are pointing to from your point of view?
Well, yeah, I first heard this, I'm guessing maybe 5 years ago. There was a clandestine meeting of intelligence agents at a clandestine site. And the story is that when they came out, and I got this from a government insider, when they came out of the meeting, these guys were white as sheets. They were stunned. They would not reveal what, but they said between then and 2027, something was going to happen that would transform the earth. And ancient prophecies dating back thousands of years are full of this. There was a book that came out in 1969 called Hamlet's Mill. And these two historians that were of notable historians of the 20th century, this was their magnum opus that they wrote. And they had gone back and researched some 35 or 36 ancient civilizations and spiritual traditions, from including Christianity, the Celtics, the spiritual teachings of the indigenous peoples of the world, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Druids, the Zoroastrians, the Hebrews, all of them. I mean, a long list. They all had the same basic prophecies and ascension teachings. And it was based on a 25,000 year circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about the precession of the equinoxes, and we're coming up on that. Now, their story is that it's going to end with a solar flare that's going to destroy all the negative people on Earth. Now, I don't know, you know, I can't do anything about that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, it happens, but that's what they believe. What I worry about is what I can do something about, and that's to elevate my own vibrational frequency and consequently my own consciousness level, and that will give me some assurance that I will survive it and thrive in the fifth density. But there's been, week before last, I got two heavy, heavy hits of 2027 alone. But I've heard it from the Vatican, have leaked out information. But this one man, his name is Sebastian Martin. He's French, but he was the CEO of a multinational corporation, but he has a gift, psychic gifts, to remote view. And remote viewing has been an art that the government has taught. And they put people through these programs, and they stick within certain protocols. And they've gotten 80 to 90%, some even say 100% accuracy on remote viewing. But what this guy, just tell him what you want. Like, they told him to remote view the Black Pyramid, and he didn't even know that it was in Alaska. And he just went there, and he said it was like sitting in a room with you or anybody and just looking, you know, and reporting it back. And he's got a long history of this, but he talked about the so-called comet, the Three-Eye Atlas, and that it was a spacecraft. Yeah, it was in the news here last year. And it's still around, by the way. And that it was full of reptilian beings.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, this same information came out of CERN in Switzerland. And they had set up using their collider a portal that allowed them to speak directly with those on this craft. And they had a room set aside, like a boardroom. And all these scientists, astrophysicists, quantum physicists, theoretical physicists, they're in this room. And these reptilians communicated with every single one of them. And they said they were coming to collect their star seeds off of Earth and to be a part of this big revelation. Yeah, when we wake up one morning, because this is what they say, is we're going to wake up one morning in 2027, look up at the sky, and it will be full of alien spacecraft as far as the eye could see worldwide. Thousands of them.
Well, that will certainly change the perception and perspective of the whole planet.
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, we have a hard time accepting people or sexual orientation or whatever the case is, you know. And what are you going to do when you get a 15-foot insectoid being walking down the street? You know.
Yeah.
Well, they look like we do. But
yeah.
What has happened for them to come here and for us to see them clearly? The other thing that Sebastian says is that we will be transformed from now where we are in the lower 4D to the fifth dimension or fifth density, as I call it. A lot of them call it dimensions, but density refers to consciousness only.
Yeah. Now, I would say years ago, I had on the show a gentleman, a physicist, Russell Targ, who wrote the book called The Reality of ESP. And he was in charge of a program at Stanford, you know, that the government commissioned. And it was a lot regarding the remote viewing. And, you know, he took the very scientific approach, using the scientific method to prove the facts of, you know, of what the remote viewers found. And, you know, and one of them was even had to do with the rings of Saturn, you know, and what he had seen. And it was something that wasn't known at the time, but has since been proven. So, You know, for any listeners who really are curious about remote viewing, that's certainly, I think, a book worth reading. So now, in addition to the alien spacecraft, you believe that in the 2027 would be the year that we're going to transform into the 5D. So is this going to be a case where, like, you gave an example of, you know, falling in love the first time is an example of a 5D experience. Is it going to be, in your opinion, to the point where the number of 5D experiences outnumbers the 4D or even the 3D to the point where we kind of move into that 5D, you know, over a period of time?
Well, what they're saying, and let me be very clear, I have no proof of this, but my gut feeling is telling me that something big is going to come in 2027, you know. But that's, I can't guarantee, I can't prove anything. I don't have any proof, but I am telling you that this is coming from every psychic out there. It's coming from hypnotherapists that are working with a wide cross-section of people. And they are seeing this. They're seeing the ships that are here in Earth orbit. And, you know, they're all saying the same thing. And another thing that happened recently was that I heard of recently. It's happened, I think maybe just a few months ago. There was a retired Green Beret. He had experiences with aliens since childhood, but over the past couple of years ago, he started having missing time. So he went under regression hypnosis. And to make a long story short, he was being worked with the Andromedans. And there were some Greys involved in this thing, too. They were working together. But during the process, she asked, she asked two questions. First, she said, "What is it that you want him for?" And they said, "We want him as an ambassador to help people awaken and prepare for our arrival. So it will be peaceful." They don't, you know, because the government's shooting down alien craft.
Oh, yeah.
Out of fear and to get their technology. And the next question was, "Your arrival, when?" And no hesitation, they said, 2027. And I went, again, 2026. The hits just keep on coming. But, you know, for some reason, the arrival of the ETs, as exciting as that is to me, the thing that stirs me inside at a very deep core level is the transformation to the fifth density, the entire planet. Well, we're already 5D, but that's another story. We've been suppressed from the moon. Mm-hmm. Or 12,500 years ago, which I wrote about in my newest book, Revelations. But going into the 5D, if people don't know what 5D actually is, when we go, first of all, the minute we go into 5D, the Tibetans have said we will instantaneously know the truth about all the false beliefs and lies and false ideas that we've been fed, like on aging fast and 5D.
Mm-hmm.
The light will be increased by 200-400 years at least. Many of them live for thousands of years. We will not have the health issues. There'll be no wars, no violence, no need for a police force, because we become fully aware that we are all of one consciousness, that we are connected, just like what the physicists proved back in 1997, that we are all quantumly entangled with everything in the universe. But we will become aware of that. We'll have a feeling of well-being unlike any we've ever known that will be pervasive. You'll feel closer to everyone and everything. And one of my favorites, and everything, when I say everything, even what we call inanimate objects, because they too are created by consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the benefit of that is, but nonetheless, that's what they say, you know. But the big, big thing is we will also assume the gifts that we already have, but we've never used them. Well, I say that we have never, most people have never used what ESP you were talking about, clairvoyance. And deep intuition on demand. We will just intuitively know things from the heart. But the big one is the ability to communicate telepathically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of humans already know how to do this, or they're being taught. There's classes on communicating telepathically being held in this country right now. Now, what's the significance of that? How many times have you asked someone, how you doing today? Oh, I'm fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you know they're not.
Yeah. Well,
right.
If everybody's communicating telepathically, that won't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're instantaneously going to know what's not only that you're not fine, but they're going to understand exactly what's going on with you.
Mm.
Like reading each other's minds. I've heard stories of people telling all these about being abducted, and they said it felt like that the aliens could see right through them and knew every their deepest, darkest secrets they could not withhold. And that's telepathy. It's all about telepathic communication. But yeah, in a society, when you have that with a large number of people, there's no need to fight or to quarrel, to hate one another. We're going to know a love like we've never known, and it will be unconditional love. Everything in the 3D is conditional. Everything is rigid. We use words like always and never.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that, when you do that, it takes away choice. You know, and we, as far as time is concerned, our understanding of time will totally shift. You ask most people today about time, they say, well, past, present, future. But most of us live in the past, and some live in the future. And the present is just reactive. Like, I hope nobody finds out about that. Or I hope that never happens again, as far as the future. She's reactionary. And when it's reactionary, again, you have no choices.
Mm-hmm.
A fourth density, we're moving into present time.
Yeah.
And
and you know, one of the things also when you indicated as an attribute of the fifth density is the co-creation with our Creator. Okay. And you know, and it's one thing I think many people don't fully appreciate, the recognition that really everything that is created is a co-creation.
Yeah. Well, that may be the biggest shift of all for us. Even in the 3D, we have the ability, because we're under the same laws, the universal laws as everybody else in this galaxy, the law of attraction. Whatever you truly, truly want, you get.
Mm-hmm.
But we how to ask. You know, it truly is. You know, instead of saying, God, give me this, or help me get that, or whatever, praying for rain. Another mentor of mine, Greg Braden, who's a scientist, went with this indigenous friend of his in New Mexico, because back in the 1990s, the Southwest had gone through a drought for 5 years, worst drought in history. They hadn't had any appreciable rainfall. And his friend said, Greg, you want to come with me to pray for rain? And he said, sure. So they go walking up in this altiplano through the high desert, and they come up on this stone formation, a medicine wheel that had been there. They don't even know how long it had been there, but for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. And when they get there, his friend sits down, pulls off his boots and his socks, and he steps into the inside of the medicine wheel, makes the sign of a prayer, and he stands there for, I don't know, yeah, Greg said maybe it felt like seconds, but it might have been a couple of minutes. he steps back out and looks at Greg and says, you want to go get something to eat? Greg said, well, yeah, but I thought you brought me here to pray for rain. He said, no. And he said, well, then what did you just do? And he said, when I stood in a circle, I felt the rain falling, and I felt the mud between my toes. I saw the rain falling off the roofs of our homes, irrigating the crops. I saw the corn above my head. It was as if it had already happened. And he said, if you ask for rain, the universe interprets that as something that does not exist. Now, take it a step further. Let me finish this part first. They leave, go get something to eat, and Greg goes home. And that afternoon, it started raining cats and dogs. And it rained all that afternoon, all night long, all the next day, and it was a mess. He called his friend, and he said, hey, what the heck? And he said, well, I didn't tell you, but he said, the ancestors taught me how to bring the rain, but unfortunately, I never learned how to make it stop.
That's one of those cases you got to be careful what you ask for.
When we found the Nag Hammadi text in Egypt in 1945, I believe it was, they found several books that were omitted from the Bible, and one of them was the book of Thomas. And in that book, it describes this. You know, the Bible says, asking you shall receive. It just doesn't tell you how to ask. And in the book, it says something to the effect of, make sure your intentions are pure and surround yourself by whatever it is that you desire.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you reverse the prayer. You start by praying your prayer with what you surrounding yourself by whatever it is that you want, like it's already there.
Yeah.
And I tried that, and man, it is powerful. But at any rate, into the co-creation, we are children of God. God is the creator. Well, some call God source.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you use, term to use, it doesn't matter. But we step into the role, the real role of who we truly are, co-creators. Anything you desire will manifest. Now, some say that it'll manifest instantaneously in the fifth, that they get and say, no, that's not so, that's the sixth density. But it will come very fast, a lot faster. We could bring it in the third or even the fourth density. This is partly why there's no need for police forces, because anything you want, you get.
Yeah. Wow. Now, you mentioned that when it comes to things that you can control or do, you know, that there's many things that you can't control, but you basically work on yourself, you know, and the idea of preparing for the shift is something that's done from within. So what can people listening do to help get better prepared?
Well, it's going to require an investment of time and learning. Reading Imminent Shift will open the doors and just open your mind, depending on where you are. In my book, Rise of Human Perception, I give you techniques and methods to raise your vibrational frequency. And because that's what we are. We are each a frequency. You have a frequency. I have a frequency. Your frequency is as unique to you as your fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
And the government's known, at least back in the 80s, even developed a meter to read frequencies. But their motive was so they could pick out alien hybrids and aliens. because although all humans have an individual frequency, it's within a range. And we vibrate in a range of 62 to 72 megahertz, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that I've learned, I knew about pieces of this some time ago, but it's really come home to me over the past week, actually. The rose. You can use essential oils and essential rose oil. Why rose? Because the rose vibrates at the highest frequency of anything in the plant kingdom and anything in gemstones, which are often used. But the rose vibrates at 320 megahertz.
Hmm.
Frankincense, that, you know, they talk about in the Bible, it's like 250, but the rose is 320. However, Bohemian rose, essential rose oil, is 800 megahertz.
Hmm.
I have a Bohemian candle on my desk. And you don't get the same effect from the candle, but I have just recently received rose oil. And I put a couple of drops on my pillow. And my wife came in and laid down in bed beside of me. And she's like, whoo, whoa. Feel it, Robert. I mean, I hoped that would happen, but... You know, I've been disappointed in a lot of things in my life that I thought were going to work, and they didn't. But this really lifted me up. And what it does is it opens the heart. Why is the heart a big deal? Because the heart, as far back in the early 1990s, a French researcher, believe it or not, his name was Dr. Amour, which is French for love. He discovered that in the heart, we have some 40,000 sensory neurons, brain cells. And they're 100 times more powerful than the brain cells in our head. Later research revealed that the heart thinks separately than the brain, and it remembers separately. The heart has a memory that's far, far, 100 times at least better than your brain. And you could, there's a technique that I write about in Rise of Human Perception that you could marry these two together. But we get negative waves coming at us all day long, you know, and, you know, we buy into other people's emotions, like you ever been around someone who was upset and crying, and all of a sudden you get upset and want to cry too, or do cry. You see that more with women than with men, but it happens all the time. And that's because you're letting all that in your aura. Each of us has an aura around us, an energy field. If you put your hand straight out in front of you, and this is important to follow this. Put your hand straight out in front of you, and then at the wrist, turn your palm facing you. This is about where your aura begins and ends, but it goes 360 degrees around you, over your head, down your back, under your feet, and down your sides. Now, if you visualize a rose, right at the end and beginning of your aura, it's visualization, but it has the same vibrational effect, and it will block negative waves from coming into your auric field.
Well, that's very good tool to have, because we are, like you said, bombarded with negativity. All around us, and you know, it would be so helpful to be able to not bring that into our own field.
Well, you could. Have you ever been walking around having a good day, and all of a sudden a negative thought comes into your mind and just takes you down and kind of ruins the rest of your day? Well, that happens. This stuff is coming at us, and you don't know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's coming at us all the time. When this happens, or when you have a memory, like I was telling you about having a memory 40 years ago, when that occurs, you could do what I said earlier. Say it's going away now. Take 3 steps to the right. But there's more to it than that you could do. I use, when I have a thought, a negative thought, any negative thought, I immediately say, cancel, cancel, cancel. And it goes away.
Mm-hmm. That goes to rewiring our brain to be able to have a different pathway.
Yes. Well, we have to feel words. Like, do you know what the word confident means? C-N-F-I-D-E-N-T. Intellectually, you know what that means, right?
Right.
Now, close your eyes and feel confident.
That's a very different experience, the feeling versus the mental knowing.
Yeah, you just raised your vibrational frequency.
Yeah.
Now, we know that everything comes from creation to sound to geometric forms. If you take the word confident and then add another 2 more to it, like competent and grateful, do the same thing with those words, feel them, and walk around with them for the next 3 days. You form a triangle.
Okay.
And then you keep building. I have these stick it, post-it notes on my computer screen. Loved, healthy, precious, grateful, compassionate, empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
All these, you put them together and you start building these triangular platforms and rewiring your brain. But the brain is like a circuit board, okay? And if you go to the same place every day, talk to the same people, then the energy that's moving through your brain is traveling on the exact same pathways every day. When you learn what I'm talking about and start studying and acquiring knowledge, then your brain starts considering different avenues and different philosophies and ideas, and it forces it into a different pathway. And the more that you do that, the more pathways you open up. We only use up to maybe 5% of our brain.
Yeah.
It's because we're using the same pathways day in, day out. And we have to change that. That's neuroplasticity. And the neuroscientists tell us you can do this. It's not somebody making something up, something hokey or real.
No, nope. It's based in science. So, and for those of us who believe in science and what it can teach us, that's important. Well, Harry, we are like down to the end of the show. I mean, and I know we only, touched on the tip of the iceberg in your book. What do you hope readers will take away from reading Imminent Shift?
Well, I hope they'll come to know truth. Truth about the fact that we live in a large community of beings. And a lot of them look just like us. In the media, in Hollywood, they show us the gray aliens all the time. Well, they're there too, but the most pervasive body or existence is the human form. And we all have ancestors from the Lyrian and the Vega constellation from the planet Lyra. We had this, and that's where we originated. But we have to awaken the truth about what's going on, because, Robert, we've been lied to for so long, and we've just accepted that, you know, the human nature is we can acclimate to almost anything. Even if it's a negative and bad and painful situation, pretty soon it becomes normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not normal. It doesn't have to be this way. We can change, but we have to do it ourselves. The aliens are here, but they're not allowed to do this for us because of the prime directive. But they're giving us the knowledge and the information that I include in that book to teach us that they are here and they do exist. And this has been going on for a long, long time. And more importantly, it's all about consciousness, and that we are going into the 5D whether we want to or not. It's coming. And if you're not ready for it, if you don't feel a sense of urgency, then God help you. And that scares me for a lot of people. It really does, because they're not going to be able to handle it. They're having trouble handling the fourth.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a couple of other things I want to just quickly add. The study of sacred geometry in the ancient mystery schools is so critical. There's a website called www.vesica.org, and it was started by the late Robert J. Gilbert, and the techniques that he teaches will change your life. I've heard that before too, but I'm a firsthand believer today, because it lit me up. It's just about activating the power centers in your body that are already there but are dormant.
Yeah.
And this goes on since ancient times. The Greeks, the Romans even knew it, and the Egyptians, and in India, the Hindus knew it. Vesica.org.
Okay. Well, great. Well, Harry, it has been a treat to speak with you again, like it always has. And I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge and insight. It's always fascinating.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been an honor to be with you today again, Robert.
Great. Again, everyone, today my special guest has been Harrison Byers Newberry, author of Imminent Shift in Human Consciousness and Awakening to the ET Phenomenon. And again, you can find Harry on Instagram at Harrison Byers, V-I-E-R-S. And everyone, thank you for joining us for this edition.
The book's on Amazon.
I'm sorry?
The book is available on Amazon.
Yeah, and your other books as well. So definitely people go and just bring up your name, and they'll have your library that you have available for people. So, and again, everyone, thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.